الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله
Assalamu alaikum, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I'm your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. This program, or this Islamic studies class, is designed to present what the Islamic faith is and what it is not. I am not here to debate with anyone about my chosen faith, no more than I will go back and forth with you with regard any faith that you practice. I am unapologetic when it comes to the authentic rites and rituals of the Islamic faith. Please call your friends and let them know that Islamic studies class is about to begin. Also, do not forget to have your Quran near you, along with paper, pencil, pen, or some way of taking notes or recording this for your personal listening later on. By the way, those of you who have been attending this weekly Islamic studies class, welcome back to class. Those who are new listeners or new students, welcome to our weekly Islamic studies class. Today's topic is, our subject is, commitment to Islam. During the time of the Prophet, may peace and blessings be upon him, when he was talking to people about Islam and introducing Islam to his tribe, Quraysh, and others in that area, the people in the area, particularly rich and the politicians, they really wanted him to stop preaching about Islam. Stop telling the people about Islam. So much so is that they even offered to him any riches that he wanted in their land. That they would make him a chief. That they offer him a kingdom. Where you want to rule, we give it to you. How many women you want, or what women you want, we give them to you. All we want you to do is stop preaching this Islam. Stop telling people about this Islam, and we will give you whatever you want. And he said, no, I'm not going to do that. He was so committed to Islam and to the people and being an honest person that people would give him things to hold for him. You know, keep the safekeeping. They know if they gave him something, he was El Amin. He was trustworthy. When they gave him something that they knew he was going to return it to them untouched, untapped, unspent, or anything like that. And so even before he left Mecca to go to Medina, he did not leave there, although people were going to kill him and they were going to hurt him. He did not leave Medina, Mecca, until he gave everyone whatever they entrusted to him and gave to him, he gave it back to everyone, to those people. That's how trustworthy that he was and committed to the people who entrusted him. His Islam just told him to do that. His Islam instructed, look, you have to be an honest person. You have to be an upright person. This was the very character of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing upon him, be the upright person. That's why people gave him what they gave to him, and he stuck to his word even when his life was in danger. He still stayed around and gave the people what they entrusted him to him to give. Now, his uncle Abu Talib, it was one of his uncles who cared for him after his grandfather died, and Abu Talib died, and then Abu Talib was his uncle. And he, his father's brother, Abdullah's brother, and he was taking care of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And then he didn't wish to separate himself from the people, Abu Talib, and nor forsake his nephew for idolaters that were there at the time, because they wanted to seek revenge against the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. And he spoke to the Prophet and very softly and beg him to abandon his affairs. Stop preaching this Islam to the people. Please, my nephew, do not preach this Islam anymore to the people. You are basically upsetting those in charge, so please stop doing so. And so the prophet, may peace be upon him, he firmly said to him, he said, "Oh, uncle, if they place the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand to cause me to renounce my task," meaning talk to people about Islam, "verily, I will not desist therefrom until Allah may manifest in his cause, or I perish in the attempt." He said, either what I'm talking about, it happens, or I die trying to give the word out to the people about embracing Islam and about obeying Allah. I will continue to do that. Even if they put the sun in my right hand and the moon in my left hand, if they had that ability, which they don't. You put these great things in my hand, I'm still not going to give up this deen. I'm not going to give up preaching to the people about Islam. That's how committed he was to Islam. I want to go further, is that another one that was committed to Islam was Abu Bakr, who was the first leader after the Prophet died, and the first Khalifa of the leader of the Muslim after the death of the Prophet. This is alhamdulillah, this is a very, very beautiful man. He even said to the people when he took his post as being the leader, basically he said to them that those of you who are basically big in my eyes, or the rich, whatever, in my eyes, you will be small, you will be poor. And those who are poor and like the less fortunate, in my eyes, you are the rich, you are the bigger ones. That's what his commitment to those who were the ones who were the poor ones. He was so committed to the poor ones is that during the winter, he would distribute clothes, blankets amongst the poor. There's a story that in and out of the way of street in Medina, there was an old blind woman. Omar, meaning the second Khalifa of the third leader of the Muslims, he would go to her house every morning, but he always found that someone else had anticipated to visit and supply all the wants of the old lady. One day, Umar went to the house of the lady earlier than usual and found that the man who visited the old lady every morning was none other than Abu Bakr. It's like these two brothers' commitment. These were the leaders. Whoever is your leader, where you're from, king, prime minister, president, whatever, can you imagine such a person doing what these guys did? Going to this out of the way street and not with cameras all around, and going to this old lady's house, a blind lady, and fixing and cleaning her house and fixing her meals for her to make sure that she was taking care of okay, that she was okay, and did this every day for this woman with no fanfare, no cameras, no social media, and none of those things were present. He just did this because it was in his heart to do something like this. His commitment to helping someone who was in need. His commitment to Islam and being an example to the rest of the Muslims of how a Muslim is supposed to be, and really how a leader is supposed to be in terms of helping those that needed help, and not always just helping themselves to others and taking things from others. No, leaders lead. They show the way. They're not the ones that are behind and tell people, "This is what you do and follow my orders and do it." No, they're the ones, "This is what you're supposed to do. Follow me. I'll show you how to do it." And so one of the things that Abu Bakr Siddiq and also Umar and others the like, they will help those that are in need. And this is what Abu Bakr did. He went and gave blankets to the poor. He gave other things to the poor, clothing to the poor, and then he also went to this old blind lady's house and made sure that she was taken care of. And so let's not leave out Umar. In his own right, he would walk around the streets of Medina and find out who needed what and he would supply for them. And I want to read something else regarding this, and that is what Omar used to do is that he would walk around town seeing what people needed, seeing that they needed help. He saw that this is a woman, saw this fire, and around the fire was this woman and these kids crying, and inside the pot that was boiling was nothing but water. And he said, "What's going on here?" And he said, and she basically said, you know, she was kind of mad at Umar. She knew it was Umar, you know, he's not looking out for us, and I don't have anything to feed my children, and so I'm going to boil this water. They're thinking that some food is being cooked in this water that I'm boiling until they fall asleep on their empty stomachs. Soon Umar heard her story, he immediately went to Beit Omal, or sort of the warehouse where the food and everything was. He got the food from there, or the wheat or rice were there from there. Matter of fact, the person who attended to the particular Beit Omal, he said, "Hey Umar, you know, I carry it for you." He said, No. "You're not gonna carry my burden, and not gonna carry my burden in this world. It's on me. This responsibility of taking care of this person, that's on me." This woman's condition, or her not having food for her children, that's on me. And so he put the sacks on his back, and he walked it out to the lady and made sure that the lady was taken care of and be able to take care of her children. This is commitment as the leader of the people. This was commitment that he made, and that he made that made sure that the woman and her children were taken care of. And he too would walk around, as I mentioned before, walk around the town and see who needed something. They didn't need firewood. They didn't need clothing. They didn't need food. We don't know of too many leaders where we're from, or where you all are from. Too many leaders that would do this kind of thing. And if you are a leader, or have connected to a leader, then I suggest to you, follow their way. Follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and also follow the way of Abu Bakr and Umar, and make your commitment to the people. Don't make promises when you're running for office, or you're trying to get that position, and then as you get a position, you don't want to have anything else to do with the people. Until it's time for you to try to get that position again, then all of a sudden they start seeing you, and you're waving to them, and you're talking to them, and you smile to them, and trying to get their votes or whatever, and confidence in you, they put you back in that position again, really where you do nothing. Really do nothing, absolutely nothing to help the people. And those of you who have money, use your money to help the people. You want to be envious of anyone. It was mentioned by the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him. A person who learns Quran and teaches it, that's a person to be envious of. If you want to be envious of anyone, that's a person who is rich and they use their money to help the poor, help those in need. That's a person who's going to be envious over. Not someone who's an actor who has a bunch of wives or a bunch of money or cars and planes, whatever. Not so much for those people. But a person that is doing good and helping others out. This is Islam. You want to know what Islam is all about and not what the media says we are about? Listen to what I'm saying. This is what Islam is all about, and the commitment to Islam is all about. They're going to try to misdirect you. They're going to try to tell you what Muslims aren't doing and who Muslims are. You want to learn about a Muslim? Ask a Muslim. A Muslim that really practices Islam, but it says it in the Quran, and the one that is committed to Islam, the one that has found the Prophet Muhammad, may peace and blessing be upon him, found what Allah instructions in the Quran. These are the ones that you follow. These are the people that you approach and say, "Tell me about Islam. I want to know more." You may not become Muslim. And I'm not asking you to become Muslim. All I'm asking you to do is give Islam a chance. To go and speak to the Muslims, or go to the masjid, to learn more about Islam. Read books, authentic books, written by Muslim scholars that talked about what real Islam is about, and not those that had distorted versions of Islam. Because if you read the distorted version of Islam and you believe in that stuff, you may become just like them. So you want to read the authentic information about Islam? Then read authentic information about Islam from authentic scholars in Islam. The information that you read about, that's the kind of person you're going to become. Not an authentic information, you're going to become an unauthentic person. Read authentic information about Islam, you'll become authentic individual. And I pray to Allah that you not just be authentic in Islam, that you also be committed to Islam and what it says for you to do and what it says for you not to do. Imam Bukhari was one of the great scholars in Islam, and wrote a lot of hadith that the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, and it was translated or was given from one Sahaba, a companion of the Prophet, who knows companion of the Prophet, and they wrote these things down on different parchments and ways that they wrote them down, and then it collected all into this book. So Imam Bukhari, he will make 2 rakat, meaning 2 units to make his prayer before any hadith in this collection of hadith. In other words, he would ask, "Oh Allah, I'm entering number 1 in here. Oh Allah, make sure it's authentic. Make sure that it's right. Please forgive me if I come up with any shortcomings." And every one, he put thousands of different hadith into his books. You can see for yourself the books that he wrote. And collection of hadith, and for each one that he put into the book, he prayed and asked Allah, "Oh Allah, make sure that I'm doing the correct thing." Matter of fact, every one of the collections of his hadith in his book, they were authentic. Now you have a couple of scholars that say, "Well, there were 2 of them that were not authentic. There's no isnad or anything like that, or no confirmation on these 2." But then people think that he made a mistake. After his death, I believe this will happen. Allah knows best. Is that even those 2 hadith that he had in his collection, it was confirmed that they were also correct. And so it made 100% of the collection that he put inside his book, they were 100% certified that they were correct in his collection, and they were called and they emanated and they began from the Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, all the way down to the various companions, and it ended up in his book. This man was committed to making sure that the right information was put in his books. And that's why he would pray to Allah about it. And it was 100% that the information he put in his book, they were all correct. Another scholar of Islam, Ibn Kathir, he stated his commitment to Islam even when facing deviant Islamic groups. The Mongols, who many of them were Muslim, but they weren't practicing in a correct way. Not all of them. I can't say all of them. I don't know that. Were Muslim, but did not do what they're supposed to do. But he was committed. He would stand up against these people. And they say something wrong about Islam, he had no fear of standing up against these individuals. And another fearless one that was committed to Islam is another great scholar, and that was Imam Malik. When Imam Malik was instructed to give a fatwa, sort of a fatwa is more so a verdict, if you will, or saying you can do this, you're not supposed to do this. It was coming from a scholar based on some Islamic knowledge, something like that, and that the leader told him, "Look, you give this fatwa, or you give this decree, if you will, to the people, to the men, to take bayat to me and to follow me as their leader. And if they don't do it, then they will have divorced their wives." Basically, this is a story. And so Imam Malik said, "Look, leader, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to tell these men to commit themselves to you, to make bayah to you, to follow you no matter what you say do. I'm not going to tell them to do that." So then one of the followers of this leader, they attacked Imam Malik, and they broke his collarbone. So he couldn't even, when he made prayer after that time, he couldn't like raise his hands up. And in the normal way in which a Muslim makes a prayer, which is just put his right hand over his left hand, he was not able to do that. And so having that, he had to pray with his hands down to his side because of his disability, because he was committed to Islam and say, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to tell men to make an oath to you. And if they don't make this and commit it to you, I'll put this decree out for them to do this. And if they don't do it, alternatively, what's going to happen to them is that they had to divorce their wives. I'm not going to do that. And so that showed his commitment, this scholar's commitment to Allah, to Islam. Even when a stone was put on the chest of Bilal ibn Rabah, it was placed on his chest, and once his. And let me kind of give this story a little bit. His master found out that Bilal was committed to Islam. I mean, his master really put him through it. He tortured him every way that you could think of a person being tortured. And that's how he treated Bilal ibn Rabah. He just about skinned him alive. He put him out in the sun. He drug him. All kinds of things you can think of he did to the Bilal. He even hired people and Bilal still was strong in Islam. He was committed to Islam. And his owner, he even gave him to these urchins, if you will, these kids, if you will, and told him, you do whatever you want to him. And they did. They spit on him. They beat him up. They stoned on him. They did all kind of stuff to Bilal. And Bilal still would not give up this Islam. They even, you have people, they put this heavy stone on the Bilal's chest. That took like several men to pick up the stone and put the stone on Bilal's chest. And Bilal said, Ahad, Ahad, one. And they even put more stones on top of that stone. And he still said, and was committed to Islam. Suit did not give up Islam. This was his commitment to Islam. No, you can do whatever you want to me. I'm going to be strong in my commitment to Islam. I'm going to be strong to my obedience to Allah. I don't care what you do to me. And so his master said, okay, no problem. So Abu Bakr Siddiq, he came to the first Khalifa of Islam. He came to the owner and said, look, I will pay for Bilal. And so they negotiated, went back and forth for the price of Bilal until found the owner said, okay, I will accept this much from you for Bilal. And then the owner said, after Abu Bakr paid, the owner said, look, I would have taken less for this worthless thing for Bilal if you, but you gave me more, I take the more. And Abu Bakr said, look, I will give you more for Bilal, but you stop at this price, all right, then I pay this price that you stop that. No problem. And so we see from this, my beautiful students, the commitment of Bilal, that no matter what they did to him, he was still committed to Islam. He was committed to his love of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. He was committed to his love for Allah, for Allah. And so you see here, my beautiful students, about this man's level of commitment to Allah and commitment to the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him, and his commitment to Islam. I want to mention also to you is that it says, in chapter 3, verse 200. Again, chapter 3, verse 200. Hopefully you all turn to those pages because you know you're supposed to have the Quran with you. It's a class. So you can flip to the page and look for yourself at the page that I'm talking about or the verse in the chapter I'm talking about. Again, chapter 3, verse 200. O you who trust, be patient, and vie in patience. Be steadfast, and fear Allah. Perhaps you will profit. So again, it said to be steadfast and fear Allah. The commitment that was demonstrated by the various scholars and the prophet and by the prophet's followers, Abu Bakr and Umar, the like, is that they're steadfast. And also Bilal, steadfast. In the fear of Allah, steadfast. And they want to profit. They will profit from Allah, from being patient. Inna Allah ma'asabirin. Allah with those who are patient. Now, what happens to a group of people? I won't get into that. A group of people who were not committed or didn't follow the order of the prophet. Because we are instructed to follow the order of the prophet. So it's one of the battles the prophet was in. He told this group of Muslims to guard his path. Don't let anyone cross his path, no matter what happened. Don't let anyone in. Don't leave this path. And so the Muslims started winning the battle, and these people left the path. And then the enemies, matter of fact, came through that path, and they were able to dominate over the Muslims, because they weren't committed. And so the mistakes were made. This big mistake was made, and they was committed. They did not follow the orders of the Prophet, and we are instructed to follow the orders and instructions of the Prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessing upon him. Matter of fact, it was while Walid ibn Khalid, he was one of the leaders, a fierce fighter amongst the people. And the ones who were fighting against the Muslims. And then later on, this same person, he became a Muslim. And then he fought with the Muslim and had a lot of victories over those people who fought against the Muslim. He didn't die in battle, from my understanding. He was a sword of Islam, and that he died really on his bed. A little bit disappointed he didn't die in battle, but every part of his body had some kind of wounds on it from the various battles that he fought. I know it's a long story I'm getting to, but I'm going to go back to what I'm talking about. We're talking about commitment. This man also was committed to Islam. After fighting against the Muslim, then he became one that fought for the Muslim. And so was Umar, the same thing. Is that Umar, may Allah have peace be upon him, is that he, when he became Muslim, and the people they will fight on be hard against the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and then after Umar began, he would want to in fact go kill the Muslim, and then he became Muslim, and then became committed to Islam, and then he went to where most of the people gathered once he became Muslim. He said, look, if you don't want your wife to become a widow, touch Prophet Muhammad again. Do something to this man again, and I will do thus and so to you. And they knew Umar was a man that was a tough man, and that he meant what he said. And so I just mentioned it to you. This was the commitment of the Muslims, and still you had that same kind of commitment of Muslim, many Muslims today, and you decided to become Muslim. I pray Allah that you also become committed to Islam. And don't go by, oh, Muslim was so violent, that kind of thing. This is not true. The only time that Muslim, the main time Muslim were against violence with someone else is that they weren't being attacked. They don't go out looking for trouble. Trouble comes to them, and what they're supposed to do? They defend themselves, and they're committed to Islam. They're committed to Allah, and you want them to give up Islam. That's the main thing, and they're not going to do that. Many Muslims would prefer to die before they give up Islam, or they won't make changes to make you happy. That's them really killing Islam. and carving away from Islam, reshaping Islam, because Islam is already set. Allah has perfected the religion for us. On this day, I perfected this religion. There's no changing. Everything that we need has already been done in Islam or said in Islam. All we got to do is follow it. We follow and do what we can of the Quran and believe in the rest. So my respected students, please, I ask you also, you decide to embrace Islam, you also be committed to this great way of life, Islam. You have been listening to the Islamic Faith in Focus. I have been your host, Imam Hassan A. Amin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.